to Scotland's premier Fife based podcast, Fife Club. The first rule of Fife Club is
talk about Fife Club. Everyone else is doing it. You should too.
They are.
Was that Sean from Walk 5?
Yeah. How many times I've heard that recently?
Sean, if you're listening, we've decided that you and James sound quite similar.
I think if we're going to do this crossover episode, it needs to be me with Sean, and we just see...
It'd be confusing.
Just don't introduce us ourselves, we just talk.
That's like a one-man play.
That'll be interesting.
But thanks, Sean.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you very much for your shout-out this week. We will do the same for you in a minute or two once I get through this.
Oh, wow.
So formal.
Formal shout-out. Yeah.
He's done his little Shop of Heroes tour. Yeah. Now he's getting all professional.
Well, on that note... Thank you to the guys from Little Shop of Heroes last week for chatting to us. Lots of new people joined us as well, and hopefully have come back. And if you have, then please stick with this.
You would want to.
You sound like somebody who's trying to convince their girlfriend to stay with them.
I know what, just stick with me. Just stick with it. It'll be okay in the end.
I can change.
It'll be better.
Better together.
Anyway, around the mic with myself, Gutch, tonight is the man they come back for. It's Jamie.
Oh, hello.
And next to him is the superstar podcaster, Mark.
I'm not sure that's true. You've got your highest ratings when I'm not here. Yeah. I'm quite literally a drain on this whole thing.
You've been on like two podcasts.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So yeah, that will do. And across from him is the man of the future. Future. It's James.
I've seen many things. Right, follow on from that. I just get it.
Well, what have you seen?
There's a lot of bees, surprisingly. They've still not worked out hovering cars, which is a bit of a disappointment. I would have thought by the end of this year, we've had travelling cars. But no, I'm going to ramble. See, this is what happens when you go from little
you
shop
had
heroes
one beer,
to
James.
Me.
One beer.
I wish it was the beer. Steaming. It's the pressure.
I see beans, lots of beans.
It's like, wow.
Yeah. Dear. I feel like there's old a little reference. Bit of like... I don't want to disappoint anyone, but when you go from Little Shop of Heroes to James, there's a bit of a fall down there.
I agree with you. It's a massive dip. I feel like dead weight, guys.
Fair enough. Jamie, do you think you could give us the socials?
Wait, hang on.
Oh, God, from memory.
Yeah, because I don't have them.
Oh, my God. Right, okay. Email us at ken@fiveclub.co.uk. Talk to us on our website at www.fiveclub.co.uk. Instagram, Fife Club.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter, @FiveClub.
Mm-hmm.
And facebook.com/FiveClubPod or @FiveClub.
Yeah!
Holy shit.
Nice.
It's only taken me how many episodes?
44?
There you go.
And for new listeners, that's going to feel like 444.
If you're listening, kids, punnies work.
That's what it's like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your weekly punishment.
Yeah.
Well... That's all the formalities done.
Have you introduced yourself?
Yeah, I did. I said, my good self, Coach.
So, right, yeah.
Okay. Formalities done. We'd like to say a big thank you to Walk Fife, who gave us a shout out on their podcast. That was absolutely lovely. Some really nice things said. And, obviously, we are looking to hook up with you guys at some point. Hopefully it won't be too far from now. We've been talking this up for a very long time now. So hopefully...
The problem is that Kutch can't walk.
Never learned.
He's just been a crawler.
He can sort of stumble from one couch to the other, but that's about it.
Yeah.
It's not my fault that I got in that accident with the combine harvester.
No.
Dark.
Cutting.
Sorry. Dear. Anyway, thanks very much for the shout out. And anybody that's listening, check out Walk Fife. The website is walkfife.co.uk, I think.
If you Google Walk Fife.
Yeah, and they're on Facebook as well and Twitter. They have a podcast and it is very good, about 25 minutes, and it's a nice listening. The website,
Walkfife.com.
.com. Ah, there you go. And they have loads of routes on the website, and they've got workshops as well. Lots of stuff. So if you're interested in getting out and about in Fife...
Oh, fuck, that's a nice website.
Those are nice.
Their website's really fucking pro.
Yeah, they're professional.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. This is what professionalism looks like. I want a slice of it.
Well, we'll get Sean in. Yeah. See if we can up our game.
Yeah, definitely. Teach you to walk, finally.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Well, we'll see.
I know. You stick to what you're good at, big man. Shuffling.
Putting those shapes in the blocks.
Classic bum shuffler.
Yeah. Right, okay. Anyway.
This is like that one, but there's the recurring joke that you jobbied yourself.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah. That time in the cinema. Yeah, I had to go home.
Yeah. Actually, how
well, obviously, because you needed a toilet, but you couldn't walk to the toilet. So you just sat there and someone had to carry you out.
Yeah. Just rolled down the steps, curled yourself in a ball and rolled down the steps.
And it just mashed in all
yeah,
the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, you took your popcorn and it was just mashing round.
It's sort of like shit Indiana Jones when that woman in front of you started to walk out in front of you.
Trying to run.
Chasing her like the boulder.
There's no way when you listeners have turned up. No way.
But seriously, Koch, how was the operation? Are you feeling a lot better now?
Yeah, very good, very good.
They sewed up his anus.
What?
I don't know. Freestyling now.
I shit through my belly button now. Yeah.
And that's why we're no good for children. Don't listen to this, kids.
So, we do have another wee shout out, and that is to Charlotte, our Fife Clubber. What's his name again?
That Dave Rogers.
That turns up. Ah, Dave, that's it. Dave.
The drunk guy.
Yeah, the drunk one, yeah.
The guy with the sun god.
Oh, yeah, he has a sun god.
Yeah,
he's always has, pale, yeah, he's in sun gods.
He always has the really sort of like metaphysical fights.
Yeah, very much. Yeah.
He always has the most notes as well.
Like a big book of notes.
Yeah. Which he only ever uses like 5% of.
Anyway, this isn't about him.
No.
It's about his wonderful fiancée, Charlotte.
Yeah,
it's her birthday sometime near here at some point. We did our research. So we'd just love to say happy birthday, Charlotte.
Happy birthday, Charlotte.
Happy birthday.
And I have one more shout out, and that is to new internet friend, Cars Karanding, who is in the Philippines and has been listening to us and has said some really nice things. I've been winding him up about living in Scotland and having access to so much whiskey and the distilleries that he's a wee bit jealous. So he said I should give him a shout out for that, for winding him up. And I was like, yeah, fair enough.
Absolutely.
We'll have a dram on us. Or half a dram. You can't get a full dram. It's too expensive.
But yeah, we will always give that personal touch.
We've become a bit of a public service kind of operation now. That's great. I like that. See, it makes you feel part of the community. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Without actually interacting face to face with the community.
Yeah. Without ever being near the community.
We're public service. We have to say things like other brands of jobby catchers are available.
Not actually out there interacting with the community in person. Like, John Warboy should have been actually there. Yeah. Is that close? Was it John Warboy?
Something like that. I can't remember. Well, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Oh, terrible story.
I have no idea what you're on about.
Oh, it was a horrible story that there's like multiple serial rapists and things like that.
It's been released into the wild. Into the wild.
Madness. Yeah. The world's gone mad. I don't believe in like rehabilitation, but like really, we're not going to send out serial murderers back into the community. So, you know.
Oh, we can't.
It does give an idea of actually sending him into the wild. Like, put a beast in an environment with actual beasts, like grizzly bears, lions, tigers, scary things like that. And just see how they do. You're probably going to get killed. It's all good.
There's a national Highland Wildlife Park that's full of things like that. I was there today.
That's what I say.
Did you get to see the baby polar bear?
I didn't, because the baby polar bear, nobody's seen it yet, and they won't for another 3 months.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, apparently they won't see the mother either. They are very protective and also very shy, and the mother's in the den. They put a camera up and the mother swiped the camera down so they can't see anything. So all they're having to do is stand outside and hope they can hear a squawk. And they have been. They've been listening every day.
Because she's given birth to a chicken?
No.
Because mum had a chicken, mum had a cow. Dad was proud, but he didn't care how.
Cow and chicken, wow, man. But yeah, it's basically won't see it for 3 months. The mother won't feed for 3 months because she went from like 370 kilo up to 490 or something like that over the last couple of months. In the winter, they put down like 50 kilo a day of food. It's mental.
Did they have her armor on?
Yeah, they did. The salve barred.
Yes.
Bears, yeah.
I think I remember now saying that there's something about that if mother polar bears and their cubs don't get that time to bond, like if there's a disruption to the bonding process, they can just cut them loose.
Yeah,
or worse. Them. Yeah, yeah. So that makes sense.
The female polar bear they have up there, she has cubs before. When
I was in the cubs make off you badges, no big deal.
Oh dear Christ. Yeah, when she was in Germany, she cubbed. So they're fairly hopeful that she knows what she's doing because she's experienced. And they are just having to leave her to it. And in 3 months' time, they'll probably see her and then maybe see the cub eventually.
Well, that's a wee shout out to the pandas at Edinburgh Zoo. That's how you bloody do it. Yeah.
Aye. And they're trying to mate the tigers and the... the lynx and the snow leopards as well up there.
It's a bit of an orgy.
So there could be lots of cubs, pups and kittens and whatever coming along. Yeah. Right, so that's enough about my adventures at the wildlife park. Aye. I could talk about that for fucking ages. Wolves, man, wolves. Oh.
Never seen a wolf. I think it's Lizzie. Previous podcaster Lizzie mentioned that whenever you go to a wildlife park or a zoo, you never see the wolves. That she's sceptical that there are any wolves in
there. Beavers.
Everyone's seen Lizzie's beaver.
Again, when we went to the beaver pond, the beavers weren't out, but I went, I just want to swatch your beaver. Yeah. Oh, easy jokes.
Yeah.
Easy jokes. but yeah, so...
Taking that one's getting deleted.
Nah. She can enjoy that one. we're gonna do a wee sort of year in review. Year in.
What's coming up next?
Yeah, what's the forward of review?
Yeah.
Preview. Yeah, preview. So, 2017. Well, not as many people died this year.
No famous people died.
Well, I think there was a couple of famous people.
Well, there was that thing where, like, 2016 was the year that people died, but then 2017 was the year where everyone was shady as fuck.
Yeah.
So that's where we all died a little inside.
You did, yeah. So that kind of balances itself out a little bit. It was pretty a shady year with some celebrity. The tip of the iceberg, as it were, being Harvey Weinstein.
I think Harvey Weinstein really set the bar pretty low for 2017. Panama Papers as well. Thought that was pretty dire.
Weinstein seemed
Trump
inauguration. Yeah. Weinstein's had a big roll on effect. Even now, it's still stuff going on. Panama Papers not so much, which is a shame. But it's good the Weinstein thing lasted.
Yeah, I mean, you're even seeing... I know it's not exactly related to Weinstein, but...
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's rolling on.
Yeah, the whole thing with, like, Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
It's just going to be taken... It's being taken straight out of the film he's just done with Ridley Scott.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, actually. That it's only today I listened to the interview with Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
It's a weird interview.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of... Sort of, there's a bit of truth in terms of what Ridley Scott said. They were like, is this a moral thing or is this a commercial thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he stumbled on that. And I was like, I just thought, you know, the easy thing to, like, for me, I would be like, it's a moral thing. The fucking guy nonced the kid, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would have been, or attempted to nonce a kid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that's fine that you could just say that. But I wonder if he was being, I mean, I wonder if there's a contractual aspect to it or something like that, where he's being very careful about what he said. But he did make the point that commercially this film would not get made now.
Yeah.
If it has Kevin Spacey in it, commercially that film is dead in the water.
Yeah.
And he's filmed an awful lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he had to recut, I think...
There was a film where...
20-something scenes, I think he said.
Aye. Yeah.
It's like Baby Driver, the DVD release of that was around the same time as
it
broke,
not,
and it's like
it's not sold it very well.
Which is a shame, because it's a fucking great film.
It was
but it's because they couldn't advertise it properly.
Yeah.
Because of a Kevin Spacey thing.
Yeah. And although he does get, like, his totties in it. So, you know, there is that. But,
spoiler alert.
But
I actually haven't seen it.
It's very good.
Very good. It's a very good film. It's just a pity it's been marred.
I mean, totally taints his legacy.
Yeah,
completely.
I mean, attempted rape of a child pretty much does that.
yeah, exactly.
I thought it was bad. On the plus side, though, in the terms of like the things that funnily death caught up to some people, Keith Jegwin, off he fucks.
Holy shit!
Brucey? Wow, he's been defying it for a long time.
He's definitely been sacrificing children, hasn't he?
Yeah, there's
no way
been something. Drinking the blood of like some children or something like that.
That pose is not a Showtime pose. It's an Incan curse pose. Just like, I will sacrifice a child to the great god of Imhotep. Like, he does that pose every time he sacrifices a child.
Maybe he does it in front of so many people and they believe in Bruce Forsyth.
Yeah, like,
he gains a year of life.
He needs to gather thousands of people for it to work. So what he has is a kid just backstage, just off curtain. So when he does that pose, everyone's cheering, going, yeah! And a child just mystically goes under a fire. It disappears, never to come back.
It's like
back
American
again.
Gods, he's some ancient forgotten god who's trying to stay relevant.
Is there anyone remember anyone that died that you can think of was a big loss? The one I was thinking of was Fats Domino.
Oh yeah.
Ain't that a shame, etc. Blueberry Hill, and I would that was an unintentional one. But yeah, Fats Domino's excellent.
Also Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington.
Chris Cornell, that was a sad one. Chester Bennington,
still sad
because you know what, had a flirting with Linkin Park for a while. I quite liked their first album. The first two albums were pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Sean Hughes as well.
That was sad as well.
A huge amount of respect for Sean Hughes. I think we talked about it in the podcast before. But yeah, I loved Sean Hughes. So Tom Petty and the Heartbreaker. Heartbreakers fame as well.
That wasn't that long ago either, was it?
Yeah. So there you go, and Hugh Hefner.
God!
It's weird to think. Like, what do you say about Hugh Hefner? So, I mean, like a pillar of, like in some ways, like a pillar of misogyny. In other ways, he did things that were relatively positive. But I don't know, like civil rights activist and things like that, which is all good. But like pillar of misogyny, it's a conflicted one. That one,
Well, in these days and times, you know.
Yeah. So there you go.
Being a lad. The best way you could say it.
He was a lad.
And that is neither positive nor negative.
God, do you remember 90s lad culture? God, what a time.
Does it still not exist?
Yeah, pretty much. Almost exclusively in Soccer AM, though.
Yeah.
And internet bants. Yeah. I think so.
Lad Bible
has its moments, though.
It shares interesting stuff, but
it's just stuff you could have found anyway.
Yeah. It's gone through a cute animal phase as well.
Oh, if your heart was not warmed by the sledging dog today, then that was
the one I quite liked the other day, and I think it was Lad Bible as well. Was the ferret showing its like human, its babies.
I've not seen that.
It's like the guy has his hand and it starts like, looks like it's biting and attacking his hand, but no, it's like grabbing his hand and dragging it over to its box, where he then puts his hand in and it's like, there's a whole load of like wee kittens or whatever they're called, and then he pulls his hand away and it runs back out and grabs his hand back in. It's like, no, look what I've done. It's kind of quite cute.
Yeah. I like for red pandas getting fed.
Yeah, they're good.
Run up with people's. We run up like people's baby legs. Red pandas, and they run up. Yeah, two this person's two legs, two balls, and they're just like loving the milk.
I saw some red pandas today, mate.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
they are excellent.
They're cool.
They are very cool animals.
I don't think I've ever seen a red panda.
Yeah, they're small and red.
Holy shit!
Not like pandas.
No, more like foxes or like bear like foxes.
Yeah, sort of like a giant pine marten.
Yeah.
Or not even giant. Just
I know what you mean, like then, rounder pine marten.
The wolverines were as well. They looked like pine martens that were like just stocky pine martens.
Did they bring out their adamantium claws?
Yeah. Well, that was it again as we were walking up towards the enclosure. I was like, Hugh! Where's Hugh?
Yeah. You must be fun.
Did you enjoy your holiday, Kutch? Yeah, I did. How about you, Mrs. McCutcheon? Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Kutch was hilarious.
I think the term she used continually around the park was, you fucking moron.
Accurate.
Also, I was going to say, have you seen that video that came out recently of the collie jumping through the fence?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing stuff. It's going right through one move, once, like swift motion. That's amazing.
There you go, 2017 on YouTube in a snapshot.
Pretty much every animal video done.
So what is that? 2017?
Yeah, was it? Fuck it.
I mean, films.
It's done now. Doesn't matter.
Wait a minute. What about that Trump tweet about Kim Jong Un? We cannot just ignore that bit of genius.
Push the button.
Like, say what you want about Trump, but that one tweet made me piss myself for days.
That's president. I've got a bigger one than you. It's like, come on.
It was like wrapped up in one tweet. There it was for the world to see. It was just like.
It was perfect. A button he can't push with his tiny hands.
Tiny hands.
Yeah.
It might be big, but he can't reach it.
Yeah. I saw a great YouTube compilation the other day of, what's his name? InfoWars guy.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones, sure. Not from the One Show. I'd love to see Alex Jones.
I bet she does, though.
Oh, she do a swap. Are you fucking.
Alex Jones for the One Show talking about the culture wars.
So Alan Sugar, what are you doing here, you fucking Illuminati Jew? That's what he'd say, because he's a fucking mentalist.
The other one is that Alex Jones, the Welsh, were going, and now the culture wars. Has they tried to put an Islamic flag above Downing Street? Jesus Christ, man. Yeah,
well,
I bet she holds those views. Anyway,
but Alex Jones's video was it was a video of Alex Jones defending Trump's penis. Like a compilation of all the times he's talked about it. And he's just like, yeah, that hand thing, that isn't a correlate. And then you look at Alex Jones's hand, you go, uh-huh. You got pretty small hands as well, Alex.
On the note of Alex Jones, if you do get the chance, I recommend listening to Alex Jones on the Joe Rogan podcast, because he, once he gets high, he just goes to another level. It's something else.
I like Joe Rogan's MMA commentary, but he consistently has complete dirt bags on his podcast and gives him a massive platform to a new audience, but it might not have reached, and it does him a fucking.
What was that guy from Blink-182? I forgot his name.
Oh, he's just mental.
Travis Barker.
Yeah, he's
Travis
a massive conspiracy.
No, it wasn't Travis Barker. It was. Travis Barker was the one that survived the plane crash.
Yeah.
He was a good one. It was a singer. He left. Tom DeLonge.
Yeah.
That was it. And he had him on the show. And like, at one point, he's up at the desk trying to search something. And Rogan's just like, this is allegedly. He's just kind of saying, yeah, this is bullshit, basically. Well, he can't hear him. Just slacking him off.
But he shouldn't have these people on his podcast.
No.
Because he does have too big a platform.
Yeah.
There is absolutely. I can't stand that. Like, there's a thing at the moment, particularly like a political thing, about universities and universities wanting to no platform people.
Yeah.
And then people like the universities minister's like, no, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't no platform people, stuff like that. It's like, no, you absolutely
should. Yeah.
The problem is you give exposure to.
Well, look at the BBC and bloody BNP and UKIP.
If it wasn't for
the BBC, we wouldn't have.
People wouldn't vote for
them. It's like, you're not no plat. Also, is it really no platforming if someone doesn't get to speak at a feminist society at university, but then gets to write a Guardian column about it?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, come on.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. Agreed.
But how about we look forward to 2018?
Yes, let's.
Oh, well.
What are we looking forward to?
Just silver jumpsuits.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Coming in strong.
Something quite cool that's happening, should be happening at the end of this month, is the launch of the Falcon Heavy rocket.
Oh, yeah.
SpaceX's new rocket.
SpaceX, yeah.
First commercially built, almost fully commercially funded heavy launch vehicle.
Yeah.
And it's going to send one of Elon Musk's old cars to orbit Mars on its first mission. And they're going to land. It's basically three of our current rockets strapped together.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to land two of them at the same time on land. And then after the main core gets rid of its fairing, they're going to land that at sea. How fucking cool is that?
Did you say it's going to land a car?
Yeah, so usually for this sort of thing, they put like just weights or concrete blocks or whatever in.
Yeah.
Because it's a first ever flight.
Yeah.
So he's taken the original Tesla Roadster, which was Tesla's first car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And he stuck it in the fairing.
Yeah.
And then the fairing's going to come off. Yeah. People think the car is going to be exposed to space.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to go to Mars and be in an orbit around Mars for fucking millions of years, maybe.
Yeah. Nice. Fucking hell. Yeah. Let's hope that there isn't some kind of horrible, like, chemical interaction that goes on between, like Christmas tree air fresheners and the atmosphere on Mars, which renders all life impossible throughout the universe. We could have gone, but that Christmas...
He is, to be fair, people are like, oh, he's going to land it. No, he's going to orbit. It's okay. So it's not going to do any of that.
All right,
okay. Unless there's aliens on Phobos. But it's
they're like, hey, I just really want my spaceship to smell like pine forest.
Stick a camera on that. It's a fucking amazing advert for Tesla, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I kind of hate that billionaires like Jeff Bezos and Musk and others who are more in the background are increasingly becoming in control of access to space. But at the same time, they're pushing it forward and making it like orders of magnitude cheaper. So it's like.
So that's a message to all of Jamie's communist and anarchist followers on Twitter. He loves the idea of privatising space.
that's exactly what I said.
Negatively spun.
Yeah.
You know what, going off of that, I'm just going to pose a question here. Do you think then 2018 could be the year that we finally come into contact with extraterrestrial life?
No.
That's that then. That's a good conversation, lads. Thank you very much.
I like to think that people are like, oh, where are all the aliens? Like the Fermi paradox. There's so many. There was a study the other day where they figured out that there was actually 10 times more galaxies than they thought there were in the observable universe. That means there's 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe, at least, with around 200 billion stars each.
Yeah.
The idea that there isn't life somewhere else is just insane to me.
I completely agree. The probabilities. Yeah.
Even in this galaxy, maybe even in the solar system, there might be life on Titan or Enceladus or Europa. But
and again,
what I like to think is that
intelligent life, I mean, it just depends on what levels of magnitude and whether there has been and gone. Yeah. And
I like to think that how we think about aliens is kind of like how people thought about like spirit people in like medieval times.
Yeah.
And in 500, 600 years, it'll be like, what the fuck are we thinking about? Yeah. And we'll have this new understanding of the universe and it'll be something else.
Yeah, until we find recordings from a shit Saturn, local Saturn-based podcast. No way, man. There's definitely no other intelligent life in space.
Yeah. Phobos Club. dear, no, I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm going to be long dead before we find anything.
I think within my lifetime, they'll find either life or evidence of life in an atmosphere.
Yeah.
But like far away.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe even beyond like simple cellular organisms. Mm-hmm. But intelligent life seems so unlikely.
Mm.
Because it takes so fucking like. Maybe warp speed is impossible. And then you're fucked because everything's so fucking far apart.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You'll just die before you get it somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although there's been simulations to show that like within not that long a time of a civilization like gaining our level of maturity, like so many million years,
mm-hmm.
it could colonize the entire galaxy. So that's happened before. Why hasn't it happened yet? I like to think it's because all civilizations destroy themselves like we're doing right now. Uh-huh. Yay!
We're really doing it as well. We're really ramped up fucking things over recently. Yeah. So There was a thing about coral reef today. There was an actual massive plea on the news today about coral reef. Uh-huh. We're fucking our coral reef.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well, the Great Barrier Reef's bleached. Oh, yeah. There's a massive chunk of the Great Barrier Reef now that's absolutely bleached, and that's... Yeah. That's terrifying, because that's one of the biggest... Well, that is the biggest one in the world. It's...
There's always been dead spots in the oceans in the world, where because of nutrient flows and things like that, it's hard for life to exist. Yeah. Although you do get some life, but pretty much barren. The areas like that since the 1950s have more than quadrupled.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just... And there's going to be, I think by 2022, 2026, there's going to be more bits of plastic in the sea than fish.
Fish, yeah.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah. And it's, it feels like there's almost nothing we can do about it, because everything is in plastic.
Abolish capitalism.
Wow.
It's not a bad start. So,
you've got a sword.
Yeah, well, pretty much. I'll start.
Yeah, let's go.
So, in terms of like barren places with no life, anyone been to Kirkcaldy recently?
Oh, hey! It's been a while.
It's been quite a while since we got that old dig in.
Have I been to Kirkcaldy recently?
No, I haven't.
What else are we looking forward to in 2018?
I was going to suggest the world of movies. We do quite well in terms of our movie commentary. And there is a lot of movies that are probably kind of right up our street, I would say.
I think so, definitely.
So let me go through some quick, a couple of quick names. Let's see what... Avengers? Holy new Avengers one?
Yeah, looking forward to that.
I mean, it will be another superhero collective movie where everyone struggles because initially they all work on their own, but eventually they'll find some way to team up and together. They'll overcome adversity and realize it was good in the end, but they won't stay together.
No, I think they will this time.
Will they in this episode?
Yeah, because
that's why Last Jedi is the best superhero movie ever made. It just throws all that shit out the window. Spoiler alert.
No, I reckon it'll be good times, good fun. It's the culmination of 10 years worth, 22 films. It's the biggest franchise. Biggest franchise.
But that's why they're rushing out films, though, right? Because Black Panther's out, and he's in it, right?
Yeah.
And also Aquaman.
No, well, that's Aquaman. DC.
All right, okay.
Yeah, he's already been in.
But I suppose the other way of it as well is that they're starting to set up the next phase after the Avengers.
In this film... I don't think there's going to be much set up to anything other than the fourth film, which will be next year. This film will see, I think we'll see a lot happen. And then the fourth one, the final part, that wraps up this whole chunk will wrap it all up and probably give it quite a nice, neat, tidy ending to everything. And probably a place where a lot of the current like roster, like Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, can step out.
Yeah, they can move on.
Or take a back seat anyway. Because I don't think they're all, you know, they're all getting older. They all want to do other things, so they're all going to want to take
time
and move out. So this film, I don't think there'll be much setting up for future.
Yeah,
the final one. Next year, that one might be the one that sets up going forward.
So, in terms of other superhero movies we've got out, we've got Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Is that out this year as well? That must be towards the end of the year.
Give us the Edgar Wright version! I know it never existed, but
Deadpool 2.
That's coming out as well.
Although they've changed director.
Yeah.
And have they changed writer as well? I don't know.
I reckon it'll still be pretty good.
Yeah.
I think Ryan Reynolds pushed a lot of the first one as well. I think he understands. But then, like I say, I generally hate Ryan Reynolds, apart from when he's done Deadpool. Because
he clearly wanted to do it. Like, it's clearly a thing he's passionate about.
And it's the role he was... So what to do? I think that'll be pretty good.
In terms of the other DC, what about Aquaman?
Aquaman, I think that'll be good fun.
Underwater Man with a trident.
Yeah. Nice. From what I saw of Aquaman in Justice League, he was probably one of the more fun elements of the film, and the bits of his world that you saw. I think that could be a fun film.
Something I want to mention, it's a Netflix produced film, though, is it?
Bright.
No. That's already been greenlit for a sequel.
Really?
Yep.
Mark,
that was greenlit before it even came out.
I've watched The Bright.
Well, what did you think? I haven't seen it yet.
It's bad. It's bad. It's I want to say it's not terrible, but I mean it is terrible.
But if you're streaming it hungover or something, it's not so bad.
The reason I watched The Bright was because I went onto Netflix and I couldn't be arse searching and it was the first thing on there that I hadn't seen, and I was just like, boom, I've got to watch that. So I watched it scraped a 3 out of 10, maybe.
Out of 10, we were going to say a 5. I was like, "Oh, that's pretty good."
No, maybe a 3, maybe a 4 out of 10. Do you know, it wasn't as bad as some people utterly savaged it. But at the same, in fairness, it tried to do something a bit different. I thought, like, we've all seen, like, stories are just so repetitive at the moment that I think that it was probably all right.
Well, did you see the trailer for it, like with the UFC?
Yeah.
UFC trailer.
They did a whole thing UFC where, like, one of the orcs. It's VR orcs, aren't they?
Yeah.
Became a fighter, and it was really, it was like the first orc fighter in the UFC. Uh-huh. And the most unbelievable bit is that he got beaten by a really shit heavyweight called Travis Brown. It's like Travis Brown would have gotten destroyed
knocked
by
out
anyone. Yeah. Open up a door and you'll get knocked out by wind.
I did like the bit with Sarah, though.
Yeah.
When he was like, Matt Sarah was like, yeah. He shows his hand, like, yep.
I'm not gonna lie, James. I hated
that bit. Did you hate that? I quite enjoyed that.
Well, the film I was gonna say was a Netflix produced one is Annihilation, which is Alex Garland's new film, sci-fi film. And it's got Natalie Portman in it. It looks a bit weird and a bit trippy, but I want to see an Alex Garland film at the cinema.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like Sunshine. I know he didn't direct a lot of these films, but Sunshine, 28 Days Later, Ex Machina. Josh all this Red. You know, I really want to see, but I love, like, Sunshine was genuinely one of the best experiences I've ever had in the cinema.
That was
he's fucking nuts,
good film.
Yeah, but yeah, so I'm a bit annoyed that won't be there. Also, Joe, you know, looks fun is Ready Player One.
Yeah.
I can't decide about that.
I wasn't up for that at all. Have you seen this?
No, I've
have you seen the movie poster?
Yeah.
Where he has one huge long leg.
Pull up
the
movie
poster.
It's, I'll just talk about it. It's a Steven Spielberg film based on a book, a very loved book, which is just filled with cultural references. Uh-huh. But it looks like they're updating a lot of them. Like Ryu's in it, and there's Overwatch characters in it, and there's people, you know.
Yeah.
But his bike looks like an Akira bike, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
And
yeah.
There's just all these.
Oh, yeah! Fucking hell! Wow.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
He's got one leg that's super long. And people are like, oh, it's perspective. It's like, no, it's not.
No.
Just fuck the movie poster.
That's terrible. Google it, listeners. It's hilarious.
Yeah. It's really
good. I can't believe that got past, like, quality control. Fucking hell.
That's the thing. It's just one of these things where so many people have seen it but not seen it.
Yeah. Posters as well. I love good movie and fight posters and anything posters are fucking great, but terrible ones like this are really fucking, that poster's just a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it basically, it looks kind of like a shanty town. Like, I mean, I guess that's what it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah, so it's like 2040 something.
Futuristic shanty town.
Shanty town of like stacks of, they're like stacks of
servers or something.
No, they're static caravans essentially.
Oh, right, okay.
And everybody lives in this world. Yeah, like the Oasis, I think it's called, like this virtual world, and seems to be the main economy. But yeah, it looks, do you know what? I wasn't up for it at first, but I just watched the trailer came again on YouTube the other day. I watched it, I was like, oh, it just looks like a lot of fun. Fuck it, I'll watch it. And loads of people love the book.
Yeah, the book's supposed to be really good.
What was the last Spielberg sci-fi film they did? I've completely
Super 8. Oh, no, that wasn't him.
No, it was J.J. That was the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
I think Spielberg produced it.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Minority Report?
Yeah. No, I was thinking of he's nailed it. That's
the right. Super 8. All
yeah, because like that had to really kind of like old fashioned nostalgic, like batteries not included. You know, like that kind of old sci-fi. Kind
E.T.
of,
and even like even Stand by Me in a way.
Yeah, totally.
It felt like it was a film about childhood and about filmmaking.
Yeah,
as well, and it was quite well done. So, it's a little bit sort of problems. I don't know how to describe it. Not. Loads happens in certain bits and then lots happens. It's weird, the pacing's a bit strange, but it's a very good film.
Yeah. So I'll just quickly rattle through a couple other ones that are coming out. So X-Men Dark Phoenix. It's the most boring story in the whole X-Men universe.
Yeah, also, I just don't know.
Sophie Turner, though, is a great Jean Grey, but I just they should just stop it until Marvel MCU takes it over.
Yeah, I think that's
fine.
Although there's the new, what's the new Marvel one? The new X-Men one with the other fucking girl from Game of Thrones in it. The one where they're like in an asylum or kids' home or something.
Oh yeah,
New Mutants.
New Mutants.
That looks quite good because they're trying to do a bit of a horror angle on it. Looks good. I'm hopeful for that.
Yeah,
it might be shit, but it looks good.
Yeah, the only other things that I was going to quickly do. Solo, a Star Wars story.
It's been written off by Disney already.
I'm not hopeful for that.
I'm not hopeful at all.
I've heard nothing about it.
So Disney apparently are expecting it to bomb, absolutely bomb. And
apparently the poster's already been leaked.
Well, there's one here. I think that looks like...
I saw a poster. It looked very fucking basic to me.
Yeah, that
looked like it. That didn't look finished.
Yeah, apparently Disney have said that that's not it.
That just looks like concept art to me.
Yeah.
Like, more than...
Is that what you were looking
at? No. It was like sort of red.
I was thinking more of like a gold background and then...
But yeah, no, apparently Disney have written off. Apparently Adrian... what's his name?
I can't remember.
But the guy playing Solo.
Yeah,
he can't act.
Who the fuck hires an actor who can't act?
Harrison Ford couldn't act when he played Han Solo, didn't he?
So maybe that's what they were going for.
Yeah, he was like woodwork or something.
Some like 80% of the film's been reshot by Ron Howard after Phil Lord and what's his face were kicked out because
so lots of exposition and running around.
Yeah,
is that what we're going to get?
That's what we're going to get. Well, it depends if Ron Howard or Ron Howard.
Yeah, Ron Howard. Yeah. Angels and Demons.
He could be so good, Ron Howard, but he could be so bad.
Yeah.
I feel almost in a sense, I'm not a big fan of all these extra Star Wars films.
Really? Like, I thought Rogue Squadron was is like the third best Star Wars movie ever. Sorry, I've had 2.5 hours sleep, listeners. I apologize.
But look at how far it's went back. It's like
what?
It's like Force Awakens. I wish. Then it's like Force Awakens, then Rogue One, then The Last Jedi, then Solo, then the next main Star Wars film. Mm. Then there's gonna be a Yoda film, and then there's chat of beginning a new trilogy of Star Wars.
Ryan Johnson's been given a chance to look at a totally different part.
Yeah.
I'm alright with that so long as they make good films and interesting films, because it's a big universe that you can go and play about in.
Yeah.
However, let's see what happens with Solo, because Solo might be a misstep, and a misstep early on.
Well, that's it.
They might rein everything back in and just cancel a lot of projects.
Yeah. Well, Phantom Menace, like, pretty much wrote off that first trilogy.
Uh-huh.
Everyone was like, that is shite.
Yeah.
And then everything else has kind of got bundled out and with like minimal fanfare to some extent.
Yeah.
So it was just like, so yeah, Solo could be that thing. But I agree with you. I think Rogue One is the best of the new ones.
Rogue One was tip top.
It
was really good.
Do you know, I was reading about it the other day. He used like old, what's his name? Director for it? Gareth Edwards?
Gareth.
He used like old lenses, but, that Tarantino found in like Panasonic's fucking warehouse that they didn't even know they had, but he used for The Hateful Eight.
Right.
And he used those lenses with 4K cameras and just stuck them on 4K cameras. So that's why it has that sort of old look, but it still looks crisp and clean, like new stuff as well. It's great.
It's really clever. There was a great BBC thing on a documentary on over Christmas called How Britain Made Star Wars.
Oh,
it's
right,
all about how we filmed everything in Britain and all that kind of thing. So that was good. Right, I'm just going to run through some other ones quickly. Yep. Let's see whether we want to see them or not. Pacific Rim Uprising.
Yeah. I hope it's good. First one's just stupid fun.
I completely agree. I thought it was stupid fun. One I'm looking for, but I don't know if I'm looking forward to it because they might ruin it, but there's a sequel to Sicario out.
I've never watched Sicario.
Excellent.
It's the same director as Arrival, which I fucking love.
Oh,
so
really?
I don't know why I've never watched it. Yeah,
Denis Villeneuve.
Yes,
Denis
Villeneuve. And Blade Runner 2049.
Still haven't seen it.
It is absolutely top notch. There's a new Tomb Raider out.
That looks quite fun.
It's supposed to be almost a retelling of the rebooted game.
Yeah, 2010. There's scenes which are like straight from the game but.
The look of it. It looks really well put together.
And she looks the part as well. again, not ridiculous.
I like how you've went down that.
Made her a bit more of a sort of a real person rather than just.
Yeah, they've went down that route of actually sticking with what Naughty Dog's done with it and make her look like an actual person rather than just something crazy.
It's so not Naughty Dog.
What are you?
Is it a Naughty Dog?
No, Naughty Dog. No. Did, the
Last of Us and Uncharted.
No, Uncharted. Yeah, it's.
It was Eidos and Square Enix, wasn't it?
Yeah, Crystal Dynamics.
Crystal Dynamics.
That's it. Who made that?
So what you guys are trying to say is that you don't want some kind of like. Airbrush bimbo with massive knockers. So you are basically the anti Toby Young. Well, I really took a bit of time to get that one in.
Can we just mention it? Toby Young literally thinks eugenics is good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? And he's been given a rule, a minor rule, but still a rule in government. Like, what the fuck?
It's utter insanity. It's like one of those bits where the world is trolling you. So other ones, Ocean's 8, because we needed another Ocean's film.
And you know what? It's not even like it's a reboot. It's Danny's sister.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It feels like it's going to be the Ghostbusters thing all over again.
Yeah. Well, look, I've got no problem with that the concept of it being his sister and her putting together a team, and it turns out that Yoshi's just as mental as he was for doing high stakes robberies. That's fine. You're flogging it.
Are they doing this film for the sake of having women in the main roles rather than making a compelling story?
I don't think it's that.
But is it not more patronising to just remake another film like this and just go, hey, we'll have an eighth one. We'll just have all women in it.
Yeah.
And that'll be great because that'll be really modern. And it's like, no, write an original, excellent story which has an all female cast or possibly a female director or something like
but
that.
The problem is that it's really hard to make $30 million movies anymore.
Yeah.
So everything's such a big investment that you have to. You're usually using some sort of already used property, so you're going to get something out of it. It's fucking annoying.
Speaking of well used properties, there's The Predator.
Is it another Predator?
Really?
Does Predator belong to Fox as well? Because they have Alien.
Yeah.
So Disney's going to get.
Fox and
I knew they were getting Alien. I wasn't sure about Predator.
That'd be fun. That means Alien's a Disney princess.
Alien Queen is a Disney Alien princess.
Yeah.
So
I've got
four more very quickly. So Fantastic Beasts is another one of them.
I quite
enjoyed that.
Do you know what my problem with it is fucking Johnny fucking Depp.
Yeah, like, Johnny Depp's fucking dreadful.
And
obviously.
He, like, the reveal at the end that he was.
That's
Grimwald.
No, that's Colin Farrell.
No, Colin Farrell
turns
into Johnny Depp.
Oh, yes, of course he does.
Yeah.
Aye, that's right. Spoiler alert, guys.
Yeah, we're ruining stuff. But yeah, that just.
No,
although,
Johnny Depp ruined stuff.
Yeah, that's true. But the cast photo has Jude Law as young Dumbledore, and you know what? Looks good. Like, believable. I can believe him as a young Michael Gambon.
I hope Dumbledore is a gay relationship, because he was meant to be gay.
Yeah.
And they don't shy away from that.
Yeah.
That'd be really good. But,
we want more gay wizards.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, damn right. There's a Venom film coming.
Yeah,
with Tom Hardy as Venom.
Do we think that'll be good?
Tom Hardy's
could
on a roll
be.
Just
it could
now,
be.
So, you know.
I don't know. It's also weird.
Is it being overseen by Marvel? Or
it's Sony that are doing it, but apparently it's within this idea of the Spider-Man extended universe, the MCU. So Spider-Man's in, like, the MCU now, but it's still a Sony property. And Venom and not everything that goes along with Spider-Man, Sony can use for films. So Sony are wanting to piggyback on the success of Spider-Man and have Venom, so there might be ties, like very loose ties and links to set it within the same universe, but they're going to do their own thing with it.
That's quite a smart way to look at it.
It depends if the Sony are notorious for not getting that kind of stuff right.
Yeah, but also I kind of wonder if it's one of these ones where whether Tom Hardy turns up or Tom Hardy comes with his weird creakies. I'm Tom Hardy. I'm going to do a funny accent. it's like somewhere between Bane and Alfie from Peaky Blinders, which is basically what he does now. He's I think I fear for Tom Hardy that he may be going down the Johnny Depp route.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's the one accent that gets ruled out.
And it's a shame because he has some really, really good roles.
He's cracking.
Have you seen his MySpace profile from like certain people? I think it was MySpace.
It's MySpace.
It's exactly what you expect. Just pictures of him flexing.
It's like 9 stone flexing. Skinny ass.
It's like, oh, this is exactly what you expect.
A film that I feel like goes under the radar for Tom Hardy, and I've been telling people about this for ages now, is Lock. Have you seen Lock?
No, but I've heard. Yeah,
it is such a solid performance. It's just him in a car. Now, I might not be saying this great, but it's just him in a car for an hour and 20 minutes with phone conversations with other characters. It's just him you see him on his journey, but the story that gets played out from, he goes from him being a working man for his family to this sort of deception he's had with his family, to cheating on his wife, to finding out the person that he's cheated with is now pregnant with his baby and she's giving birth. So that's where he's driving to the whole time. And it's just that whole journey. Like, that's not so, it's not the biggest spoiler telling that part. It's the
actual. I was just going to say, I don't need to watch it now.
No, it's how he changes through that and how he kind of.
A metamorphosis.
Yeah, he does. It's not the biggest change, but how he adapts to every situation and kind of plays off of it. It's really, really well done. And I watched the trailer, there's a little documentary on the DVD where they showed how they made it. And he actually did the car journey. He sat in a van and they just drove him around, like, London and Wales. And the cast who you speak to on the phone are in a studio actually phoning him they do it. So they're recording him in the car and then they're recording them in the studio, but they're actually having this phone conversation as they go, which is really, really well done.
That's cool.
So I recommend Lock. That's one of my favourite Tom Hardy films right now. And
finally, the film that I'm most looking forward to is Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
I think
that'll be an absolute belter, guys. I'll be tuning in. Get that on at Christmas. Yeah,
I'll be paying.
I can't believe there's.
I bet it'll fucking rake it in compared to the production costs.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
All the money will be spent on advertising.
Well, Broadway and the West End are like hoping for the best. They're hoping that pays off. So like, yes, we've got the Broadway money now again. That's exactly what they'll do. If it makes it, they're just going to thump out another theatre production of it.
So, 2018.
What scares the shit out of us?
Yeah.
Everything.
What scares the shit out of us, or what's going to annoy us? Well, I think the most frightening thing that we all have to confront as Scotsmen is the change in the recipe to Iron Brew.
For fuck's sake. Fuck this. No, they have no idea how painful this is going to be. They really don't.
Look. Fucking snowflakes here.
Hello, Alex Jones.
Hello. Oh, are we cucks, are we?
Just grow a pair. So what? It's changing. Is it a little less sugar?
Alright, laddie lad alpha male here.
It's going to be good for our hearts.
I don't give a fuck about my heart. I just want decent Iron Brew.
He says as he's eating a deep fried onion ring.
Yeah. I've just had a fag.
But I had a diet Iron Brew to chase it down.
That's how it works.
But the thing with Iron Brew at the moment is you actually have three different courses at the moment.
Yeah.
You have normal Iron Brew, which is sweet, hangover relieving, sugary, excellent. You have diet Iron Brew, which is a completely different, it's a savoury. It's a savoury drink. It's all completely different. And you have the little man in the middle that's the Iron Brew Extra.
Yeah.
I'm actually a really big fan of these days.
And I reckon the new formula is going to be not too different from the Extra. And the Extra is not that far away. Like, as somebody who likes and drinks a lot of the diet Iron Brew, when I've had the Extra, my God, that is sweet and sickly. Well,
in comparison.
Here's the thing, though. We were talking about this earlier, and you were saying they've done taste tests.
Yeah, so 9 out of 10 people said they could.
9 out of 10, but here's the problem with that.
9 out of 10 cats also prefer Whiskers. They have no way of communicating.
So, I've seen there's like quite famous studies where they took Coke and Pepsi and asked people to tell them what thing it was, and if you gave them Pepsi but put a Coke wrapper on it, they were convinced. Like 9 out of 10 people, maybe 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, were convinced they could literally taste Coke.
Yeah.
And the opposite way around as well. So that thing's so subjective that it's near meaningless. And the only true measure where it annoys me is that it might not be so good for hangovers anymore.
Yeah, I know, that worries me.
Half a sugar equals double the hangover.
Yeah. drink Diet Iron Brew on a hangover these days, and it's still just as good because it's the liquid, it's not the sugar, it's just the liquid.
Self-righteous prick.
Yeah. Are you even Scottish?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you even because human? I fucking love Iron Brew. I just don't want to clog up my arteries with sugar.
Oh, shut up, cunt. You're dying young like the rest of us.
I actually don't mind it. It's just that's the only thing where I'm like, oh, it might not be quite as good for hangovers.
You don't even get Iron Brew bars anymore.
Oh, that's just because the company that made them kind of went bust. So.
I know.
It's nothing that to do with health.
That hurt me enough, though. That was one of those, like, I can't take any more loss, and then now they're doing this.
The thing is, being talked about is a coming sugar levy. So Iron Brew released a statement and said, oh, it'll be still the same, blah, blah, blah. What they should have said is, basically, for the few sales we'll lose by doing this, will be nothing compared to financial penalties we get if we stay the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Therefore, we're changing it.
Hey, look, they have been fighting years with the European Union, and Brexit will sort this out.
Take back control.
It's about the yellow colour and sunset yellow.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's an E number, which has scientific evidence of given hyperactivity in kids and some adults as well, and it's banned except for Lucozade and Iron Brew because they both use it and they both claim that it's an essential part to their product. Mm-hmm. That to remove it would change not only the colour but the flavour of the product as well.
Do they have
an exemption?
Do people forgotten the term sugar problems, do they use Iron Brew like they do Lucozade?
What, diabetics?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. You know, you can use it if you've got a... Not that
Lucozade.
Yeah, they use Lucozade. Yeah. But can you use Iron Brew
Lucozade
as well?
Lucozade's also sugar. Now dropped its sugar content.
Yeah, no, but there's one, I think one of them still okay for that.
Pink
like,
lemonade.
Yeah, pink or something. Yeah.
Most I heard was a full fat Coke. That was another thing I heard. Was full fat Coke's quite good for that. Not all of not a full can, but maybe half a can.
It's just a Mars bar. Like a very quick getting a huge amount of sugar.
Sugar,
yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting. I mean, I do think that, like, as I was saying to you guys earlier, there are other manufacturers around the world making Iron Brew, whether they switch to this recipe or don't. Like you say, it's really popular in Russia. They've got a lot of factories out there. That there is probably the chance that you might be able to get, like, some kind of import strength Iron Brew if you really want to, or something like that. Might have to pay a little
given the amount of pure alcohol that Russians drink.
Yeah. Could you imagine trying to tell them to stop drinking sugar?
Yeah.
It's a country that considers beer to be a soft drink.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, quite literally.
Yeah, that's mental.
I do find it weird. I'll be interested to try the new recipe, definitely. Will I stockpile tons and tons of the old stuff? Nah.
No. Oh, Bar will be hating that. People stockpiling it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like our sales have gone up for no fucking reason.
Although, that being said, I did say to you, Jamie, before we started recording, that if you keep a couple of cans over the next how many years, that will become a collector's item.
Yeah, and also go off and be horrid.
But you won't open
even,
it.
Even so,
a sealed can is going to be worth a lot of money. In fact, a sealed gingy bottle is going to be worth thousands.
It's like people sometimes buy whiskey bottles that are fucking ancient, but they taste like shit.
Yeah.
For various reasons, because seal's broken, all this stuff. But, yeah, Iron Brew is forever.
Yeah.
Silly.
For real as well. But I would be against Bar opening up a speakeasy for Iron Brews as well.
Prohibition.
Do you think people went as mental as this back in the day when they stopped making them from girders?
Yeah, almost certainly.
Bloody Brussels.
Yeah.
Sugar. What do they do with sugar?
Fucking morons. Anyway,
speaking of Brexit related morons, people that are using the hashtag FBPE. Anyone been following this on Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh god, it's got me very, very exercised.
Okay.
Yeah, people that are new to politics who think that all you need to do is put a hashtag next to your name and suddenly they'll build a massive community. Never mind the fact that there are well-established, like, there are professional politicians against you. There is a media which supports Brexit against you. There is no fathomable way that you can make Brexit the single issue and change, like, just ignore the referendum.
Yeah. It worked so well for the Lib Dems at the last election.
Oh, exactly. with that 7%, they are absolutely running the country. Yeah. Prime Minister Cable is, as we speak. Oh my God, there is a way to...
I forgot Cable was the leader just now.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
But there is a way, if you don't like Brexit, and I have to say I'm certainly no fan of Brexit whatsoever, there is a way of doing it, but this is not it. And also just the way that they're... The way that they're kind of... Like, Owen Jones got in trouble the other day because Andrew Adonis came out and said that we should stop Brexit, it's all stupid, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it from his skiing holiday. And Owen Jones made a really good point, which is that Andrew Adonis is the type of figure that the people who are maybe a bit on the cusp about Brexit are not going to listen to Andrew Adonis.
Lord Adonis.
Lord Adonis.
It's Lord Adonis.
The fact that, like...
Total Blairite. Lord.
Yeah. Exactly, it's just, from his skiing holiday as well. And it's just this point where they were like, but yes, but he grew up in Care. So it's like, do you think people are going to take the time to read his biography?
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to see Lord Adonis tells you not to do something.
Yeah.
Or tells you to do something because he's right and you're wrong. It's not the way. Like, we need to, like, if you want to stop it, you need to build a coalition of people who could be allies.
It's,
they're not doing it.
It's like, I saw the guy that wrote with Gruffalo has changed it to, was it a Brussels? I don't know. Some sort of EU-based, it's a Gruffalo but with an EU flag on it. And it's like, this is the idea of what politics is.
Yeah.
It's like, don't get me wrong, you can have things like this, but it has to be built around it's organising.
Yeah,
at some
absolutely
level.
Organising.
A hashtag where people share their feelings on Twitter isn't organising.
No. Or a hashtag where people share their feelings and tell you that you don't know what you're talking about, despite the fact that they've only recently encountered politics, because up until last year, they were the sort of people that would change their politics by the blowing of the wind.
Yeah.
And now suddenly telling you that you don't know what you're talking about, despite the fact that you have considerable expertise, and they have absolutely none.
Well, Jeremy Clarkson said that Gordon Brown's a bit funny, so... which was pretty much it, yeah.
It's just a level of madness that I'm just finding difficult to tolerate.
It is that same thing, though. Like, it's the same thing with all the awareness. Mm. Awareness of a disease or charity. It's like, hashtag this or share and retweet. It's like, but it doesn't do anything.
No.
But somebody thinks, people think that, oh, I've done my bit.
Although...
I've done my bit because I've hit that button.
I will say that I agree with you to an extent, but I also think that those things... Wasn't the Ice Bucket Challenge for ALS?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd never fucking heard of ALS before the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Well, you had, it's just you hadn't heard of it. And
I had no idea, maybe I'd heard of it, I had no idea what it was, but whereas now I kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe because a character in Stargate Universe had it as well. But, so that kind of worked out, but generally I agree, it's like, it's taken too far. It's seen as, just with this, and with the hashtag resistance in America
against
Trump, again, completely useless. And it's so wide that it has no meaning whatsoever.
Yeah.
But it sees politics as awareness as the end in itself, rather than action.
Because Brexit is now at a stage where it's a legislative issue.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much you raise awareness around the site, unless you're engaging with the actual legislative process, you're not going to change anything. There is a really simple...
Or putting mass pressure on it, but that doesn't come from hashtags. That comes from writing to your MPs and even organising like trade unions and everything else.
Yeah.
You can put massive pressure on. But hashtags are maybe a few percent at the most of part of that, you know. They're close to useless.
There is a really sensible plan which these people could do. It's very much along the lines of the Chris Rock, if everyone wants to get rid of guns, why don't you all join the NRA?
Mm-hmm.
But there is a way that you can stop Brexit. If there is a lot of you, you could quite literally join up. Instead of starting a new party, which is just going to fracture everything else, just join the Labour Party and use the very processes that Jeremy Corbyn has put in place to increase the democratisation of the party to then... If he is as hard Brexit as you all tell me he is, I'm not entirely convinced about that argument. I think that was a very helpful argument for the Lib Dems, which didn't really work out. But I think there is a way that you just go in there and you just change Labour policy on it.
Yep.
There are currently 500,000 Labour members.
And there's a lot of smoke signals that it is going to change. There was stuff before Christmas, McDonald telling MPs that, look, we can't call for a second referendum right now. Not on the deal, obviously, but we'll call for it. We might do it closer to time. And then when Tony Blair intervened the other day, again, who's going to listen to Tony Blair?
I know,
the people who are already Remain will listen to Tony Blair.
Yeah, because they're already convinced and they are all his type of people.
Yes! Yeah. But the people who Brexit are going to give a fuck what Tony Blair says.
In fact, they're going to do the exact precise opposite.
But again, in response to that, again, there was sort of, you know, oh, we understand from sources in the high up in the Labour Party that, you know, we're not, it's not Labour policy right now, but it might be in the future. You know, these sorts of things.
Yeah.
To let people know that,
you know. I mean, I have absolutely no idea what the, I mean, as a Labour member, I maybe should know. But my guess at what the Labour strategy is hold on, wave to the government, hang themselves on this. Yeah. And then when it becomes a point where it looks like Brexit's untenable, then you come back to the populace and you say, let's have a vote.
Yeah.
That is what I suspect their strategy is. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm crediting them with a strategy.
No, that sounds exactly, you know, how you'd expect it to go, and it's, yeah, that's totally it.
But there will come a point, somebody, I can't remember which political writer wrote it recently, it's like, there will come a point where waiting,
yeah,
you can't wait any longer before you have to take a decision, and that will be sometime in 2018.
And they have to lay the groundwork for it as well. They can't just jump and all of a sudden say, oh, let's have a second round. They have to somehow lay groundwork for it. I think the NHS is a good way to do it and say, oh, look what's happening with the NHS, look what's happening with jobs, we won't be able to fund the NHS, we won't be able to do this and this and this, and then build from there.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think there is a way to sabotage Brexit if you really want to do it.
Mm.
But I think alienating potential supporters and allies, the sort of people that can help get you over the line, because it is still going to be tight no matter what you want to do. So, yeah, that's been really annoying me, because there's a lot of people who don't really understand how politics works or how the narrative
works. I have no idea how politics works.
So anyway, that's got me exercised. And if anyone's following me on Twitter, that's why I'm arguing with these people. Constantly.
Stroke shouting into the wind.
Yeah. Pemmin's Twitter is hilarious to follow, because it is just sort of like half thoughtful comments and then half just raging at things. It's great.
Mostly Rangers.
Mostly Rangers supporters.
Yeah. Dead Rangers or the Sevco variety. Hissing whichever flavour. Yeah. That was the other podcast I was on. It's the first, I think it was the only time they got complaints. Ah, oh, dear. Anyway, but yeah, so that was my little 2018. I think that will be interesting what happens with Brexit.
Yeah,
I am genuinely fascinated how it turns out. Obviously, I have ways I would like it to go, but that's just me.
Do you know what terrifies me about 2018? Is the fact that, you know, we might obliterate ourselves through a international dick swinging contest. Quite literally.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the events of the last few days.
But I was listening to a right-wing commentator on the radio the other day, or was it even today, it might have been. They were saying that, like, North Korea and actually South Korea have had the first conversation they've had in a while.
And they've organised more meetings as well. And
So quite possible. Has Trump actually potentially avoided an international black spot by being being the biggest arsehole in the world? Has he made other people go, fucking hell, look at that guy, he's a... Should we have a chat? Like, this is getting a bit much.
Just like how he's responsible for no major airline crashes in the States last year.
Oh, fuck, honestly.
Yeah. There's that astronaut, the twins, who they studied, one up in space, one down here, but one of them was like, oh, are you going to talk about how all the gun crime, all the gun deaths are your fault then?
Yeah.
If you're going to take it, it's just so... Anyway,
it's worrying, but you know, jobs and investment are up to a certain extent in the US. I mean, there's some madness happening.
Investment's up because they can see the deregulation coming so hard on everything. Just everything's going to get deregulated so fucking hard.
And that tax bill is insane.
It's absolutely mental. And people are still like, oh, but
trickle down.
The average family will still get $4,000. Like, no. Average, if you take the massive cut that all the rich people are getting, and the cut you'll be getting will probably be close to zero.
Yeah, not how it works. It's average. Average. Not you're getting it.
Kiss goodbye to your Obamacare and even their Medicaid as well, maybe. It's like fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Net neutrality as well.
Mm. Oh, net neutrality is a huge issue.
That's, there's a lot of talk of maybe the EU.
Well, you wanted to privatise space, so clearly you want to privatise the internet.
Obviously. The EU should just someone should step up and say, lol, no. And
yeah, just, we're the internet now.
All of your internet are blown to
us. Yeah.
It's horrible because literally all everything's in the States.
Let's get Al Gore to uninvent it.
Yeah.
That's about the only step we've got left. Come on, Al, it's your time, big man. Uninvent the internet.
What?
He invented it, he can uninvent it.
How did he invent it? I don't know this.
Did you not know that Al Gore claimed to invent it?
In the internet, yeah.
No.
Yes, like famously. Al Gore invented the internet.
Maybe that's why Americans don't believe he won the election when he actually did. He undermined himself.
Yeah. Oh, Al, you scallywag, you.
But it's genuinely...
Why? Because he gave DARPA funding or something like that? Is that what he claimed?
I can't remember why.
Oh, fucking hell.
It's one of these things that you just have to look up and just go... Well,
okay, Al Gore.
Yeah, so net neutrality, so privatizing the internet, which is a worry, and then obviously because all of everything works on the internet, and we've just found a flaw in every single fucking microchip in the entire world that's ever been made, making all of our computing completely and utterly vulnerable to everyone.
Yeah,
like I was at a cybersecurity event recently, and the guy just said, hands up here, who's been hacked?" And a few people put their hands up and he went, you've all been hacked.
Yeah.
Already, you just don't know it.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
It's just true. Just true.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a thing where I think I came to that realisation a long time ago, is that if somebody wants to get into your data, they'll get into your data.
Yeah.
Which and the thing is, you have to remember that your data is no longer stored on your computer. When people are talking about, have you been hacked? They're talking about your accounts, it's not talking about your personal computer. A lot of people think about the personal computer or the phone, but it's like a lot of the data isn't on these devices anymore.
Oh, no.
The important data is all up in the cloud. It's all on servers in countries where there are poor data protection laws, where the security is lax. You have no idea. You're hoping that when you sign up to something that, your data's safe and secure, but majority of the time,
if anyone's encountered the campaigning organisation 38 Degrees before, your data is definitely not secure from them, because they are terrible.
Yeah.
And I'm going to complain.
Unsubscribe. Oh, you're still sending me emails. Fuck off.
Unsubscribe 4 times. Unsubscribe with the email. Why the fuck have I still signed up to this, you mother of all cunt lords?
Yahoo Mail has been hacked numerous times.
Mate, they handed in a petition. It's going to change things, just like that hashtag.
Yeah.
Who else? AOL, Amazon, some big names out there have had data taken from them.
Yep.
There's websites you can go to and put in your email address and stuff as well, which will show you if you've been.
I've never done that because I know I definitely probably have.
Oh, I've done it and it shows you where and how. And like I had my eBay taken over and a few other accounts which I used a similar password on. The same password. And there's been suspicious activity and I've ended up having to change passwords, or like my eBay account, it was blocked because somebody was trying to sell 4 cars on my eBay account.
The thing is these days it'll just be bots doing it as well.
Yeah.
Because instead of them having to go and manually put in the password, they'll just have a list of websites that bots just
go into. And because they've got your
and they'll give it 3 goes, and if it doesn't work, your email address, so you don't get locked and you don't get alerted.
Yeah, they'll have their email address and the password you use for one site, and they'll just try it on multiple sites until they get it.
And it fucking terrifies me.
Mm.
So that's grim.
Yeah.
On that note, though, of hacking, I should really talk about the rise of Bitcoin, because funnily enough, I have 4 Bitcoin.
And the fall.
And the fall, that will happen. So... I got 4 Bitcoin years ago. They were worth 20p at the time. They're now worth up to 11 grand. One is worth 11 grand. I have 4 of them and I can't access them. So if you're listening to this and you're a kind of top MI5 level hacker who could probably, you know, break into these accounts and you want, I don't know, a couple of grand in your pocket, then by all means, give me a message, because I wouldn't mind having 40 grand worth of Bitcoin in my pocket right now.
James, you've just been hacked.
You don't have those Bitcoin anymore.
It's like, what am I talking about? I've already been hacked in the time I made that advertisement. It's like, does he? Gone. Thank you very much.
It's actually really difficult to make Bitcoin into real money. Yes. Apparently.
You've got to go through, like, it's almost like a crazy stock market sort of thing you've got to go through. And even at that, you're talking almost months before you get, like, anything back. Yeah.
I saw people using it essentially for a basic income scheme because it generates it. The thing is, I think Bitcoin's probably going to go, well, not go away, but never take over massively. But blockchain will stay around as a database technology, which it's really fucking good at.
Apparently.
I read a report the other day from NASA talking about using it for if they're using multiple space probes.
Uh-huh.
Instead of each of them sending back to Earth,
uh-huh,
they send to each other and authenticate it all on a blockchain.
Uh-huh.
And then they know what to do.
I don't actually understand blockchain, but I understand it's the solution to everything.
That's pretty much it. If you wanted to get an article published in 2017 with an editor, you just say, these 10 things are terrible, but this is how the blockchain can save us.
Yeah.
Just like,
2018, blockchain. How blockchain's going to save Harry and Harry's wedding to Meghan Markle.
When the truth is, it'll just become a background technology that not many people know about on the internet.
Well, I think that
sums up
what we're looking forward to and what we're fearing in the coming year. So,
I'm looking forward to more podcasts and more podcast crossovers.
Meeting more
people around this.
Friends, going on adventures.
Because you know what? One good thing about 2017 was this podcast.
I think we all feel pretty pleased about it.
Yeah, a little bit proud.
There's a lot of things to look forward to already. We've not even. Yeah. Not even started in this year yet.
We've got a lot of plans, listeners. We really don't.
No, I think we have a lot of pie in the sky thinking.
Yeah.
Let's see how it goes. But, you never know.
Also, it's World Cup year. So if you're a football fan,
it's World Cup year.
Said Russia, though, isn't it?
So. It's corrupt as fuck.
No team corruption hotspot,
no,
Russia.
No, there'll be no coincidence if Russia win the World Cup this year in Russia.
He's the native of Vladimir Paryan. I didn't say what I thought of what we were saying. It's not corrupt at all. And we all look forward to your eventual rules.
May I be the first to welcome our Russian overlords?
Very much.
Well, it brings me to that time of the night where I have to ask James, what is our model?
Oh shit, I had one as well.
This could take a while, isn't it?
Be prepared for 2018. There'll be highs, there'll be lows, but just know that you will come out the other end a better person for it.
Are you saying it'll be alright in the
end? Damn, it'll be alright.
Oh, nice nod to another favourite podcast.
The good old church. Anyway, that brings us to an end. So, good night.
Good night. I need a glass of water. I'm going to fall asleep.
Yeah, there it is.
Does anybody want anything?
No, I'm all good. I'm just going to have a bit of a cough, though. So a bit of a tickle. I'm sorry, Coach. I didn't realise I totally missed you saying yourself, like introducing yourself. I'm sorry about that.
It's because he gets missed out all the time.
I think that's what it is. I'm just forced a habit that I'm like waiting on like an intro from Jamie of some kind.
Yeah, we should actually probably do that. Be more sensible about doing that. But Kutch wouldn't like it. He wouldn't like the adoration. He likes to be able to go on the bus on his own, you know, not get recognised. You know what I mean? The last thing he wants is he sits down on the bus, you know, getting the number 19 up to the pancake place. Suddenly, a couple of people on the 19 are like, what? Are you Kutch from Five Club? Oh shit, yeah. Selfie? Yeah, fuck's sake, yeah, sure. Can we sign this? Yeah, obviously.
Look,
I'm not Lemmy.
I'm not the people's fan.
I did actually meet Lemmy once at a charity day.
Yes!
Oh, there you go.
Was he really down to earth?
Yeah, and very funny. Yeah. Oh,
I bet he's never heard that one before.
Yeah.
Is that okay on there, yeah?
Yeah.
Excuse me. We walked past two Eurasian cranes today, so we and I went, "All right, Niles. All right, Fraser. No, I did exactly the same joke. I did the same joke, which is brilliant.
Because Kirsty went, I bet they've never heard that before.
There's one thing about our comedy. Yeah.
Timeless.
Ubiquitous, possibly.
Oh, dear.